All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. This week's guest is two-time Olympic gold medal champion and Hockey Hall of Famer, the ruggedly skilled defenseman, Chris Pronger. Time to face off.
Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. What's going on, Nast?
What's up, Riggs?
Not much. How's the adult league going?
Not bad. We had another W this weekend, 5-0.
Yeah, 5-0.
5-0 right now. Yeah, everybody's, we got a target on our back being the champs, going undefeated last season and starting the winter season here. We're 5-0, so good win last night.
Yeah, any tucks?
Boys are, had a couple tap-ins.
Oh, a couple tap-ins.
It was a couple tap-ins. Thank goodness for my two line mates, Foxy and Joey. Foxy's just going about 100 mile an hour to the net, takes five guys out, and the puck's sitting there, and I just tippy-tap it in.
There you go. Not easy. Not Snipe of the Week worthy, though, right?
It was definitely not Snipe of the Week.
Picking up the trash. Not.
I should have had a Hattie, and this kid stoned me. I was expecting all zero of the fans. Someone would have thrown a hat on there for sure, maybe. But yeah. No, I'm kidding.
You'd hope so.
Better. Yeah. But right, we're rolling pretty good, man.
Very nice. Very nice.
How's your weekend?
That was great. Yeah, it was great. Just laid low, had a couple Flyer Learn to Play programs going on around the area, and just some family stuff. So
nice.
Can't complain. It was a good use of my time. How about them Fly guys?
It's been, I tell you what, man, what a difference again. Here we go.
Yeah.
We go up and down. Yeah,
the roller coaster continues.
Yeah, it was tough with those guys out. G was the first guy back there against the Rangers, Claude, and three assists. Came back pretty strong. Looked like he got a little rest instead of maybe being sick. But then they obviously go into Buffalo. And big back-to-back shutouts for Moose and Hartsey. And boys looked good. Buffalo, They look like they're struggling a little bit. Tough team to watch.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. You know, it could have gone, you know, the other way easily when you go up against an opponent that's struggling and you go in there think you're going to, you know, wipe them up and you have poor performance. So it was nice to see them capitalize off those two games. And, yeah, they're struggling, that Buffalo Sabres team for sure. And you look at, you know, look at the one goal like Kutzer and Eichel, supposed to be their go-to star, and he's standing literally right beside the guy and no intention of tying up a stick. So it goes beyond that. I mean, obviously, it's a deeper issue they're dealing with. But nice to see the Flyers, you know, again, scoring, shooting the puck more. There's, you know, I think they're averaging those last three games like 38 shots on net, playing away from their net a lot more, which certainly helps against, you know, for the goals against. So and guys are stepping up, you know, obviously getting a few bodies back in there certainly helps, starting with G, definitely. You know, and, you know, Lotz back, Jake back, just the energy level was good. I like Ghost's game. He seems to be pretty, well, consistent in the last few, but again, those two games, they should have won. They did obviously. And, that's important because, you know, you drop one of those two, it's demoralizing losing to a team like that. So
yeah,
good, you know, a couple of good ones to build off of and move forward with. So nice to see.
Yeah, it was good. You're right. Like you said, it's easy to go in there and drop one of those, especially maybe when the first one and you're like, ooh, they're having a tough time and you don't come ready. And, you know, it's NHL and you can lose those. We've seen it happen. I mean, you see Boston went into the Rangers and lost the other night. Yeah. I never expected that. Rangers looked to me like they were a lost team a week ago.
Yeah.
They turn around and win a game. They won a couple. I think they beat the Caps too. But anyway, it was good weekend for the Flyers and big game tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned Carter Hart. I think it was a big game for him to come back and well, get a shutout, get the win really at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Gets the shutout, a little gravy there. But, you know, he's kind of, I don't know. I guess he's struggled a little bit, and I'm not sure it's 100% him. You know, I think there was some issues up front there. And again, they weren't shooting enough. They weren't generating enough offense. They're playing a little more in their end than they would like and absorbing more. And he just needed a big win like that and got it. So hopefully he can carry over the confidence into the week here. So nice to see.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about that with Carter before. You know, he had a tough outing in Lake Tahoe there. Next start, he gets a shutout. I know it's a struggling Buffalo team, but that's just his mentality, man. He's special.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he's mature beyond his years. So I only expected that, you know, from him to him come back strong,
right,
and composed and ready to rock. He made some big saves. You know, I mean, there's a couple there that I don't know how he did it, but nice to see for sure. So
yeah.
All right, I think we should jump into our interview with the Prong Daddy.
Oh, yeah, the beast. Let's do it.
All right, this interview is brought to you by DraftKings. UFC 259 is this weekend and is sure to be action-packed with three title fights taking place in one night. DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight with 100-1 odds on either fighter to land a punch during the title fight. Pick either main event fighter to land a punch during this weekend's UFC 259 bout, and DraftKings Sportsbook will give you 100-1 odds. Just bet $1 on either fighter to land a punch, and if that happens, you will cash in for $100. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test, to put your money where your mouth is with DraftKings Sportsbook. Don't worry if MMA isn't for you. DraftKings Sportsbook offers great odds and promotions on basketball, hockey, and so much more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code Knuckles when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if either main event fighter lands a punch on Saturday. Place your bet and watch their fists fly this weekend. That's code Knuckles to turn $1 into $100 if either fighter lands a punch, for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years or older. Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer, and we are very, very pleased to have the one and only Chris the Beast, the Foo Pronger. What's up, brother?
What's going on, boys? How are you?
Prong Daddy, what's happening?
Rigatoni!
Good to see you, man.
What's up? How are you, man?
Doing well. Doing well. Where are you at? Love that it. Nice globe in the man. Background.
I got the travel map in the back here. St. Louis, Missouri.
Beautiful. Yeah, you got to know where you're going, so you got to have the map on hand.
Yep. I got to be able to point somewhere.
Well, I appreciate the time. I know you're a busy man. You got a few different irons in the fire. One being the travel business. Why don't you talk about that? I mean, it's interesting that you're doing that with your wife, and it seems to be growing quite well.
Yeah, we're excited. It's boutique luxury travel company caters to, for the most part, athletes, celebrities, CEOs, C-level executives, business owners, high net worth family offices. And really the reason for that is that's what we know, in the sense that their demands and their time, the pressures of the job, the fame, the fortune, stress on home life, pressure of kids, a lot of that across that landscape is very similar, having lived, that lifestyle and understanding, what's going on, kind of beneath and behind the scenes, we're able to really help, through our company and our travel experiences that we've, I've been fortunate enough to take. And then obviously, our company is centered around health and wellness, the healing powers of travel and the mind, body, spirit, and in everything that we do. And we try to curate experiences and vacations and things of that nature that are going to allow, whether it's a personal trip, a professional trip, and allow you to learn more about health and wellness. Learn more about whether it's as simple as a new sleep technique or a new yoga pose, a new holistic healing method. It kind of runs a gamut, but we're able to then allow those clients to implement that into their everyday life. And hopefully they continue to improve professionally and personally and continue to excel and rise. I think when you look at that client roster, if you will, the drive and determination to get to the top, the will and desire to not only stay there, but then continue to excel and push forward and strive for more excellence, I think is very similar across that board. And, that's something that is obviously something I tried to do throughout the course of my career. And now 2.0 and 3.0 is continually strive to get better and learn about how to improve myself, both mentally and physically. And, we like to bring that to the table with everything that we do with our clients. And, we're a little bit different in the sense that we're relationship driven. We want to really kind of get to know our clients, really kind of peel back the onion layer to see what's going on in their lives so that, as things come up, we're able to kind of steer and guide them through travel experiences and that are going to either help them, work on their marriage, work on their relationship with their kids, de-stressed due to, work-related stuff, anything that kind of runs the gamut through the course of daily life, if you will. And, I think as the years go on here, we're becoming more and more cognizant of mental health and really how that affects the physical side of things.
It's the truth.
And so a lot of what we do incorporates both of those things.
Yeah. Wow. It's action-packed and, sounds like full service, but super important stuff, right, when you talk about success. I mean, whether you're, again, you say like a CEO or an athlete or a celebrity, I mean, the only way you can perform on a high level is if you're able to manage, say, the daily grind, manage stress and incorporate these healing techniques. It's really about, inflammation and stress maintenance, basically, really, is what you're kind of alluding to, but... important stuff. So, congratulations on that. It's got to be rewarding, fulfilling, and a lot of fun too, I'm sure, working with some of your clients. So, props to you.
It is. You learn a lot every day having these conversations, talking to clients, prospective clients, kind of walking them through our process and how we work. It is definitely fulfilling, and getting to know new people, you know, challenging myself. I'm, you know, a bit of an introvert at times, and in this job, you need to be an extrovert and outgoing and talking to people and really kind of be inquisitive. And, you know, that's something that I've challenged myself to kind of get out of my comfort zone and really kind of put myself out there. We're an open book with our successes and our struggles. We don't use the Instagram filter to kind of make it look like our life is perfect. And you know, we don't deal with any issues in our lives. You know, I think that's something that, you know, our clients and prospective clients appreciate, you know, very much with how we portray ourselves and, you know, not only to them, but to the world and to the community.
Beautiful. Yeah, and then, awesome. And then on the hockey side of things, you're still involved with the Florida Panthers.
I am not.
Oh, you're not. Okay.
I am not. I'm done.
You're done.
I'm done.
Okay.
You know what? I was working, you know, I worked there for 3 years. And this was just something that I think, you know, you got to be all in or all out. And,
100%.
You know, I could have kept doing it, but I would have had a toe in. And sure. it wouldn't be fair to them. It wouldn't be fair to me.
That's not you, though. You don't.
No.
You
no,
don't do things.
Yeah, right.
I'm not putting a toe in.
No toe in.
You're all in. You're either pushing the chips in or you're pulling them all out.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, so we're fully invested in this company.
Beautiful.
And, you know, I think for us, you know, really it's about growing organically and slowly and with the right clients, the right people, and those that are interested in improving and guiding and being, you know, steered to the right destinations, the right learning about the right cultures and learning, you know, trying to constantly improve. I think that's something that I did throughout the course of my career. That's something that I continually do on a daily basis is learning something new, trying to implement that into my daily life. You know, and it's something that I think we all have to a certain extent. And, you know, we're here to help provide that.
Beautiful. Well, I did not know that. I thought you were still, I thought you're still toe in, toe out, but,
one step in, one step
no,
out.
But it makes a ton of sense. I mean, I understand
old
that completely.
Is yeah, no right. Longer there.
Yeah, no. But how hard was that for you to make that decision?
You know what? I think at the end of the day, it really wasn't. Knowing, I guess, the passion that I have for travel, the excitement that I had for the business. The idea behind the business, how we could help people, you know, it is something that kind of drives us on a daily basis. And to see and get texts and emails from clients that, you know, tell us about the great times that they had and how connected they are now versus prior to, you know, that's what it's all about for us. And you know, I think we strive to do that. Each and every time we send someone on a staycation, a vacation, a travel experience to a far off destination, which in current times is challenging.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, as we continue to go and things get back to some semblance of normalcy, we'll continue to, you know, dive into different areas of, you know, whether it's the South Pacific, Asia, you know, Middle East, Europe, you know, all those areas that everybody has a lot of interest in and learning more about. So, We're excited and, you know, looking forward to things slowly turning back and becoming maskless at some point.
I hope so.
Yeah, no kidding. It's about time. It's about time. Well, you know, let's talk about your hockey career because obviously you're known for, well, several things.
Hours?
Yeah, no, right? We're on the clock. We're on the clock
here.
I
really wanted to dive into it.
But, you know, in 1993, you're drafted second overall. Do you ever look back and say, God damn, I should have been first overall?
You know what? You know, you
like everyone. You back,
yeah, but you look back on a lot of things. I actually got asked that question last week.
Did you?
Just about more about Daigle and not necessarily the pick. And, right. You know, I think when you look at me going to Hartford, we had, you know, they brought in a number of great veterans to help mentor and guide me. Brad McCrimmon being first and foremost of the group was my partner and roommate. And then, you know, you look at Daigle in Ottawa, I don't really know if they had a good core veteran leadership group that could, you know, they had a lot of cast-offs and yeah. A lot of guys that were, you know, just trying to prolong their careers. And, right. and I don't really know how much guidance and, yeah, I'm sure they were friendly and I'm sure that, but I don't really know how much they really dug into, and nor do I know if he really wanted to be guided and steered and managed and helped. And frankly, I said this last week, I don't think he even enjoyed playing hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it just looked like it was something he was pretty good at, and he just did it for other reasons, not the game of hockey.
Yeah. Interesting. I think that, like, you know, goes to the point of, like, you know, he's got obviously has some raw natural ability, but unless you pour your heart and soul into it, you kind of just stay, you know, the same, or, you know, you don't really grow. Yeah. And that's an interesting point too, around the supporting cast. Like not that I remember that early Ottawa Senators team, but I know that they didn't really have an identity. You know, there was really nothing like surrounding him. So, I mean, that could have been part of it too. And then eventually you just lose interest in whether he did before or after the fact.
And you think about it back then, 93, you know, he wasn't exactly a big guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's, I don't know, 5'10", 5'11", 165 pounds. You know, in the game that was played back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a fast player, but you get your mitts on him and he's done.
Yes.
And, you know, it just, you know, the game wasn't set up for him. He was very one-dimensional, tried to use his speed all the time and just kind of, you know, take it wide. And, you know, because, you know, whether it was coaching, whether it was his inability to be coached and change and adapt to, you know, the game and current environments, you know, I'm not sure that if you're unwilling to adapt and change to the game, going from junior to the NHL, then, you know, as you said, Riley, he's going to be stagnant. And if you're not improving every year, you're actually going down because everybody else is improving.
Well, that's the truth, right?
Yeah. I had a question for you, Progs. 93, that was actually my first year, too. It's amazing I'm still only 35 years old. don't tell Elvis because he loses it.
You look
my
30.
My daughter's been telling him, Dad's going to be 50 next month. And he cried. He said, they're lying to me. No, you're only 35. And I'm like, well, buddy, it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does. You're 30. They can't say. I was like, but remember, I was 35 last year. Yeah. Okay, we're 36 then. Like, he's losing his mind. But anyway, you come in, you're 18, like, into the National Hockey League. Verbeek was the captain there, I think.
Verbeek was the captain. We had Andrew Castles, Jeff Sanderson.
Yeah.
Jim McKenzie. Doug Huda was there for a cup of coffee in the beginning. You know, Brad McCrimmon was my partner. We had Zarly Zalapsky. Sean Burke was our goalie. Frank Pietrangelo was our backup. we had Randy Cunnyworth. We had... I mean, we had a whole host of, you know, names that you would know, but
yeah, right.
You know, we had that top line, you know, it was Sanderson, Castles, and Verbeek was our top line. They did the bulk of our scoring. We had Robert Kron. We had, who else? We had some, you know, Ted Drury, Jim Storm. We had a bunch of, you know, younger college guys that kind of came in. Patrick Poulin was there. He was the only other young guy on the team other than me. Obviously, Sanderson was, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years older, but, you know, so we had an eclectic group of players.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, like, back then, like, obviously, you've been through the changes in the game, but I always say I sound like an old fucker, but, like, the old school, like, what a difference between then, obviously, your rookie year to when you finish. But what I was going to ask you was, being 18, you come in there and you do have some veterans around. Like, was it an absolute shit show? Because there's no cell phones, thank God. Right.
Yeah.
Harper's not like a booming place either, but I'm sure places, little watering holes you could go. But was it fun or was it like
it was hard for me because everybody, you know, again, drinking age was 21.
Yeah.
Connecticut, not, you know, these hole in the wall. I lived out in Avon, which is a well-to-do suburb. A lot of the guys lived in Simsbury and Avon because we had a practice rink in Avon Old Farms. So I really didn't go out that much, to be honest with you. It was, you know, I lived with a family. I hung out with them a lot. You know, people were in different parts of their life. A lot of guys were just getting married, starting families. You know, they had other things going on. So when we were home, you know, I just kind of stuck to myself. But when we're on the road, everybody goes for dinner. Everybody goes out, you know, whatever. And, you know, that's more of the time when you got to hang out with the guys and kind of be a part of the group. But at home, it was actually pretty lonely, to be honest with you. It was, you know, because everybody does their own thing. Everybody, you know, you go for lunch, but then what do you do?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you got a lot of spare time and you got a lot of free time to figure out what you're going to do before you got to wake up for either practice or a game the next day.
There's no Facebook back then to start trolling anybody.
Yeah. Thank God.
There was no internet. There was nothing. No, nothing.
Oh, my God. Well, you're there 2 years, which obviously I don't think anyone would have thought that. I mean, the player you were and, the, you know, obviously getting better and better, and you end up getting traded to St. Louis. 9 seasons there. And a few awards. A few awards. You know, the Hart Trophy and I mean, you did it all. MVP, I mean, you did it all. But Norris, what about your time there? And you got to play with Wayne Gretzky, which was probably pretty cool. Grant Fuhrer.
Yeah, I got to play with the whole old Oilers crew.
Mac T, yeah, right.
Mac T.
Was he in there too? Was that?
Mac T was there. Yeah, he was there. Charlie Huddy was my partner.
Oh, no way.
Charlie Huddy was there. We had Glenn Anderson. I mean, Mike Keenan brought in the whole old Oilers and some of his old Rangers guys. And it was, you know, I think I got the kiss of death in Hartford after my second year. I met with Jim Rutherford, the GM, and he goes, yeah, you know, you're a franchise player. We're going to build around you. You know, not knowing then what I know now, I mean, that was the ultimate kiss of death. You know you're getting dealt when they tell you that.
Right.
So, you know, it's funny. Homer was the GM, and then he was the coach, and then Jim Rutherford took over as GM, and Homer was the coach again. So he had flown up to Dryden to meet with me, and I took him fishing, and, you know, he just wanted to see how I was doing. And, you know, it had been a rough couple of years, right? And checking on me, seeing if I'm working out, seeing if I, you know, what headspace I was in. And we go fishing and, you know, obviously, again, no cell phones. So we take him to the airport. He flies. He has to fly through Thunder Bay. So he stops in Thunder Bay. He gets on a payphone, calls back to the office, and he checks in with Jim Rutherford. He's like, yeah, you know, he's had a great time with Chris. He looks great. He's you know, mentally, you know, I think he's ready to take that next step. Well, don't worry, Homer. We just traded him.
Wow.
So. Needless
Shanny,
to say,
right? For Shanny, yeah.
Yeah, for Brendan Shanahan.
Yeah.
So who they then flipped for Stu Grimson, Paul Coffey, Primo, and, you know, maybe a first or second round pick or something. But he was only there a year, too. So it he didn't want to be there anymore either. So, so it was, you know, I think it was, you know, I got to St. Louis, and you know, you got Brett Hull, Jeff Cordino, Al McGinnis, Grant Fuhrer. You got all these, this veteran presence and this group that kind of knows what they want to do, you know, and how they want to play and how, you know, so they're trying to integrate you into the lineup and into how they want you to, you know, be a pro, practice, play, you know, all the, you know, off ice habits, all the things that you got to learn as a young player to then take on to that, you know, consistency and preparation and all the things that we talk about being a good pro with. And the first year I went in there, I was not in the best of shape. You know, Mike Keenan at the time was really into physical fitness and really into the VO2. And he was adamant about what you needed to get to and adamant about, you know, all these things. And I wasn't very good. to say the least. Me and Grant Fuhrer, I got sent onto the bike. I got scolded and sent to the bike to get back into shape. Fuhrer, they sent home because, you know, he's Fuhrer and he walked the golf course. That was him getting into shape. Yeah. And so Mike was not happy, sent him home. So then Fuhrer and I were in the so-called fat club.
You're in the fat club.
And working out, you know, working out beside each other. And you know, that first year was tough. You know, I got traded for a fan favorite in Brandon Shanahan. Yeah. You know, I got booed every time I touched the puck on home ice.
No way. Wow.
I got, you know, verbally assaulted outside of the rink on numerous occasions. I mean, it was a mitigated disaster the first probably half to three quarters of the season. And then, you know, ultimately I just said, you know, and then it got into my head and I was thinking on the ice and I was just, you know, you start trying to please people and then you start trying not to make mistakes. And of course you're going to make them.
Right.
And then ultimately I just said, fuck it. And just said, fuck it. I'll just play. I don't give a shit no more. You want to boo me? Go ahead. And then I started to kind of come into my own, obviously got into better shape. You know, really started to just play the game and react, not think about what may or may not happen and think what you needed to do if that may or may not happen. I mean, it just gets you into no man's land. You just read and react and play the game and throw caution to the wind. And I think once I did that, I started to play better. As I mentioned, Charlie Huddy was my partner at the deadline. We traded for him, and he was my partner, him and Jay Wells.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. Think about that. And
no idea.
You know, yeah. Him and Jay Wells are my partner, and we kind of played together. And so it was an interesting year. I had a really good playoff. We lost in seven in the second round. You know, Gretzky gets traded to us, and that the three-quarter mark is where we got Gretz. And that's kind of where things kind of – I was able to kind of go to the back burner. All the focus went on Gretz, you know, rightfully so. But right. Thankfully for me, because it took a lot of pressure off of me, everybody was just focused on him. The media attention, the scrutiny, the, you know, all the stuff, you know, the fans, et cetera, they weren't really thinking about me anymore. And so that really gave me a chance to kind of sit back and kind of come into my own. And then, you know, we should have beat Detroit in seven, but, you know, we weren't able to. And it was a, you know, a great learning experience. And then I built off of that. And then every single year upon that got better and better and better.
Yes.
Definitely. Well. Would you look back on that trade, you know, looking at the adversity and the whole bit as probably the best thing that ever happened to you in your hockey career?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think from the draft to expectations to then getting traded for a fan favorite, going through all the adversity and the booing and the, you know, whatever, it does. You can, it's a fork in the road. You can either quit or you can find a way and push through it. And, you know, I think that really shows the mettle that you have and shows the inner desire and the strength of character. And you're able to really, you know, improve and use that as a guiding force throughout your career.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Prague, speaking about you getting booed at home, I remember your first game in with the Flyers when we started in Carolina. Ray Emery was with us. He was in net, threw the shutout that night. But one of the funniest things was the game starts, soon as a puck hits your stick, boo. So we're all just kind of chuckling like whatever, because when you would come to Philly, people booed you before you were the Flyers. So Prongs plays a shift. He comes back. You don't even open the door for the guy. He's 6'6". You know, he throws a leg over. He goes, "Boys, don't worry. That's my nickname. They're just calling me Lou." Lou. Beast, I think they're booing you. No.
That's pretty good.
No. They just like the way I handle the puck.
Don't worry, boys, he says, right as he steps over. Don't worry, boys, that's just my nickname, Lou.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's funny.
So you land up playing with 9 seasons in St. Louis, and then you obviously had some great memories and success there, and you land up in Anaheim.
Edmonton,
sorry. That was for Leupel and Smith, right?
No, that was...
Oh, am I confusing those trades up?
There was a lot of them.
Yeah, I know. I'm all over the map here.
Edmonton was for Eric Brewer, Jeff Wawitka.
Wawitka,
and yeah. Doug Lynch. And then when I went to Anaheim, that was the first trade for Leupel. It was Leupel, Schmid, and 2 firsts. And then... And then when I got traded to Edmonton, it was for Loophole. Reason to first.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right.
So Loops has been a part of a lot of trades.
Yeah, right.
That's great. The thing about Edmonton, obviously, you spent that 1 year there. You guys go to the finals, man. I mean, like, what a run. And to lose in seven, you know, like, I mean, that's just got to be tough. First of all, you weren't a high seed end up going into the playoffs, but I remember hearing you talk about it before, just saying, you know, you just had confidence, though, with that group. And I remember, obviously, watching that series, and it was wild, man. Like, seven games, you guys, I think game five, you win in Carolina, you go home, and you shit kicked them.
Yep.
So you come to seven, you got to be, hey, boys, like, you know, and they got a shitty goal.
They got a shitty first goal, and it we were down. It was, they got a shitty first goal, like 5 minutes into the game. It went off somebody and went in. And then it was 1-0 for a line. Then it was 2-0. Then we scored to make it 2-1. Then we had a 5-on-3. We had all kinds of chances. Just couldn't bury. And then they scored an empty net goal late, you know, 5 seconds left or whatever. But it was, you know, losing Dwayne Rolison in the first game, you know, he tore his knee up. That hurt us, you know, and there was a number of factors. Game two, we just were completely out of sorts. You know, when you give away games, we were up 3-0, 4-0. We were up 3-0 or 4-0 in the second period in game number one. You know, you win, you know, it's no different than Flyers against the Hawks. You win that first game, the series is completely different.
Yeah,
totally different.
You know, you take that road game to start, it changes the whole layout of the series. And to be frank, we should have won. I mean, we just should have won. And Rolly gets hurt. At the time, you know, one of the biggest problems we had was we rotated our backup goalie. Why, I have no idea. But UC Markkanen and Ty Conklin were rotating as the backup. Huh. And game number one was Conklin's turn. And now you got to remember, the guy hasn't played in 2 months. Like, he hasn't played a game. So he gets out there, you know, that Rolly gets hurt. They tie the game. Rolly gets hurt. There's like 5 minutes left in the game. It's 4-4 or 3-3 or 4-4. And Jason Smith and I were partners. They dump the puck in. Conk stops it. He goes to push it to Smitty, who was coming the other side. And he pushes it basically to Rod Brindamore, grabs it, and bangs it in an empty net. And you're just like, okay, what are we doing? Yeah. And then you see Markkanen played awesome. You know, the crazy part is, then UC goes in net and played awesome. Played really, really well. Cannot fault him for any of our losses. And, you know, like, he played really well. It just, you give up. You know, the second game was a blowout. We were stupid and played terrible. You know, see, spot them too. I mean,
yeah,
you're behind the eight ball constantly. You're fighting to climb back in, you know, and maybe we used too much energy to climb back in to get it to game seven.
Yeah.
But, you know, and they're obviously on home ice and the energy and, you know, all the stuff. You know, their crowd was very, very loud.
Yeah.
It was impressive between Carolina and Edmonton. You know, obviously, playing in Canada, going to the finals. I mean, Edmonton was rocking. It was, I mean, it was awesome. You know, for somebody that plays hockey to play in Canada and be in the finals and be in that environment, there's nothing better.
Right.
There's nothing better. Just the passion and the buzz around town and the electricity in the air of everybody's talking about the game or the next game and, you know,
that's what happened in there, right?
Oh, like, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was a great experience and something that actually, you know, I think helped me when I went to Anaheim the next year, because, you know, obviously our goal was to win and get back. So a lot of the stuff that I learned in that season, you know, remember the coach was Mac T, who I played with.
Yeah,
that's right.
The D coach was Charlie Huddy, who I played with. Yeah, right. Craig Simpson was an assistant coach who I played against. You know, Kevin Lowe was the GM who I played against.
Yeah.
So you start going back on, you know, so, you know, we had a great relationship and we're able to kind of walk through a lot of potential conflict and issues, not as it relates to me, but just as, you know, for the team and different things that you need to kind of walk through with the guys and explain what you have and kind of where things have to go.
So you end up in Anaheim and you get it done. You win the cup, man. That was awesome. And playing with Scott Niedermeyer, like, how easy did that guy make it look? Oh. Skating around. I mean, he could have. I always tell people, because I get asked about you a lot, and of who plays now with the Flyers. He reminds me a lot of you as far as the way he conditions himself, how serious he takes the game. And I swear, Proby wants to play 40 minutes a night. And I said, I remember you and I just bullshitting one day. It was some other guys too, but you were like, I could probably almost play a game if I, paced yourself, but you
managed.
If you managed, but in saying that, literally, you did play 30 minutes, and you probably could have played more. And I always say that, but Niedermeyer, he looked like he could literally easily play 40 minutes.
If there's anybody that could play for, 40 minutes, 60 minutes, it's him. I mean, floating around on the ice, effortless. We, in the Olympics in 02, we're in Salt Lake, so we're in elevation.
Yeah.
He goes out for a shift with his partner, which may have been Adam Foote or Rob Blake. I was playing with Al. And Adam Foote changes, and Scotty's still out there just cruising around, And then Al comes to change. And then the next right shot guy goes out, and Scotty, I think he saw the next guy change. He's like, I better change. I feel bad. I'm taking your ice. He felt bad. He wasn't even tired. And I got out there for like 20 seconds. I'm like, change. I gotta go. Yeah.
Let's go.
if there was one guy, he could easily do it. Like when we were in Anaheim, he'd play, we'd play 30 minutes. Obviously, I'd play different. I was physical and, clearing the front of the net and doing all that. It takes a lot more out of you. But Scotty had, some grit to him, more than people think, more than people give him credit for. Played hard. He might not have been out there running guys and doing all that, but he was engaged in the battle and obviously why he's a Norris Trophy winner and Hall of Famer and four-time Cup champion and, all the other accolades he's got. But, just seeing the way, just floating.
Yeah,
blades are barely floating. Touching the ice where there's shrapnel, ice just flying everywhere. But I'm skating.
Oh man, I was. We were talking about. I was talking to Riggs about you when you first came in. I laughed. I hadn't met you yet, and the first day you showed up in Philly, you came in the side door, and I knew you were coming, but I'm waiting, so I'm like, I gotta get to meet him and like kind of go over some stuff. Pronks comes flying in the door and I'm like, hey man, what's up, Nasty? Yep, what's up, brother? Going upstairs. I need some workout stuff and some shoes and I'll be back down. I'll see you later, man. He just keeps walking. I'm
like a boss.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, I was telling Riggs, I don't know if you remember this, Pronks, but so it's so funny because thing most of the time, I have to admit, but we're going over his gear. Obviously, he's being 6'6", his fucking pants are different. Everything's bigger and specially made. So I said, hey, wear this stuff a few days and then I'll give you your second set of gear. And he says, what's that? Second set of gear. No, I don't do second set of gear. And I'm like, well, we kind of have to because we try. No. I don't do two sets. I didn't in Anaheim, so, and I'm like, I'm not going to argue with the man, right? So I'm like, all right, okay. But it was just funny. No, I don't do that.
I don't do that.
It's like you're trying to get him to take something, like pills. Or, no, I don't do a second set of gear. So I'm like, all right. I had a second set of gear, right? So everything's new. So I start changing it every day after he skates. Like in the morning, I let it dry and then I put the new stuff up because it was so new. So we go like 2 weeks And we're getting ready to leave because we're going to Carolina, I think. It could have been a preseason game, too. I can't really remember. I think I was carrying your stuff back and forth during preseason, but you didn't know I was switching it. So we're getting ready to leave, go to Carolina. The goalie bags are pulled. We had a guy called up, I guess, and his bag's out because he only had one set of gear. So Beast comes off the ice. He says, "Yo, Nass, where's my bag?" And I said, "Oh, you're all set." "Well, I got to pack my gear." And I'm like, "No, your shit's on the truck." No. "I only have one set of gear." I was like, "You've been wearing two sets of gear for about 3 weeks. I've been switching." "You motherfucker. You little fuck. Are you kidding me?" I'm like, "No, man. I haven't seen it. It didn't bother you. I knew these shin guards weren't right. We got to get weights on them." He's just fucking so mad. But then he was like, "All right, whatever, man." So I was like, "Yes. I got one on the Beast." But he's like, "You little fuck." I kind of stood about 10 feet away, too, in case he was going to come after me. But
Casey snaps. Throw the old buggy web.
Yeah.
Casey snaps. Throw the old buggy web.
Yeah. I think it was funny, though.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Why don't you talk about your time in Philly? You know, I know you come to Philly, obviously, your big name, big presence on the back end, and then I think you're banged up a good portion of your second season there, and then obviously you retired because of post-concussion syndrome, right? I mean, talk to your 3 years in Philly and, you know, and the culture of, you know, Flyers hockey and kind of how you exited the game.
Yeah, you know what? I think when I look back on it, there was a couple times where when I was being traded that I almost went to Philly and I was in my prime. And, you know, having gotten there and seeing the environment and seeing the passion of Mr. Snyder and the, you know, the fan faithful and, you know, everything that encompassed Philly. And, you know, you hear all the stories in the lore of how crazy the fans are and, you know, all the rest of that. And you see guys with the Flyers tattoo on the side of their head.
Right. And Flyers Eric.
And, yeah. And, you know, with all that stuff, you're just like, "Oh, man, this is legit." So when you see, and it was really kind of obviously new, long, you know, known homer my whole NHL career. You look at, you know, the passion of Mr. Snyder, you know, Peter Lukko, you know, Comcast, Mr. Roberts, and what they exude and how they wanted the team to play, how they wanted the team to be run. You know, everything was about winning. That culture of just win, baby, you know, just win.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Snyder, Al Davis, that old school owner mentality, you know, it's something that I appreciate. You know, I played the game to win. I wasn't out there trying to make friends. I wasn't out there trying to, you know, stick tap everybody and, "Hey, buddy, buddy." You know, it's about winning.
Of course.
It's about doing what you can to be successful and help your team win. And, you know, when I got there, it was, you know, I could see the passion in Mr. Snyder's eyes and see the passion that he had for the Flyers organization. And obviously, you know, the tradition and how, you know, the Broad Street Bully days and how they played the game. And, you know, I was excited. I was excited to kind of get things going. You know, when I talked to Homer about the trade and coming in, you know, obviously I was there to help Richie and help Karts and help some of those younger guys kind of take that next step and kind of steer and guide them. You know, and I think a lot of, you know, it may not have worked out in Philly for them, but I think a lot of the stuff that they then went on to do with LA, I think they learned a lot.
Sure.
From our time in Philly and from what we were, you know, so close to being able to accomplish. So, it's unfortunate that it ended that way. That first year, I didn't miss a game. You know, me and, you know, I think when you look at our D that year, me and Matt Carl, Kimo and Kobe, the four of us missed a total of four games total.
Wow, that's impressive.
Which is crazy to think. And so I was, I was expecting that I had knee surgery in the summer in the off season, you know, didn't do training camp, didn't do much preseason. I don't think I did any preseason. And then missed the first game against Pittsburgh, and then I came back, and Then I broke my hand, you know, freak accident, break my hand. Then my back goes out. Then, you know, just all the stuff that kind of went on, a lot of freak stuff where you're just like, you know, you wanted to build on the opportunity that we had against Chicago. You wanted to have that. And you know, just for things to kind of play out the way they did that second year. And then to come back and, you know, knee felt great. My back felt awesome. Everything felt great. Got off to a great start. You know, I think I had 12 points in 13 games. I think we lost one game or like 12-1-1 or whatever it was. And then, you know, to have that happen, you're just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, and just to do, you know, deal with everything with my eye and then obviously the concussions and everything. And, you know, I think it was frustrating. It was, you know, I got a soft spot for Mr. Snyder. You know, he's obviously, you know, hardcore, passionate owner. But I think when he sees where you're at in that regard, you know, I went out for dinner with a number of times afterwards and just kind of talked to him. And, you know, he basically told me, man, you're done.
Really?
You're not playing. You can't play. Because, you know, his son's a doctor and he showed him my medical file and he's like, seriously, Mr. Ed or whatever he called him. Kind of dad. Like he looked at my medical file and all my injuries and then obviously all my concussions and all everything that kind of went on. He's like, you know, he's just not going to be able to play. Like you can't, don't think that at some point this guy's miraculously in 2 or 3 years going to be able to play.
Right.
It's not going to happen. You know, just based on my age, you know, the injuries that I'd had previously. And then, you know, obviously my head stuff and my eye and all that stuff. And, you know, I think you know, that was one of the reasons why I needed to leave Philly and Mr. Snyder, you know, was, you know, I think very receptive to allowing us to, because he didn't have to, you know, I was still being paid. He could have said, hey, you need to be here training. You need to be here trying to get healthy. And, you know, I think he knew what was going on with my wife's parents and everything that was, you know, health related with them. And, you know, I think he was, you know, understanding more so with, you know, I think what other players had gone through in the organization, you know, obviously his own health and stuff that he was dealing with. So it was, you know, had it been another owner, I don't know if they would have understood. I don't know if they would have been as accommodating as, you know, I think he appreciated the way I played. I think he understood, you know, what I brought to the table. It sucks. You know, we bring in Briz and, you know, and I'm, you know, the first couple, you know, first little bit, and then I'm watching Briz and I'm like, if I'm there, half the shit this guy's doing, he's not doing, you know, he's going to get a stick over the head and told to shut the fuck up. Like, you know, he's pointing at guys after goals, like he's blaming guys and doing all this stuff. I'm like, just shut up and stop the puck. Like, that's your job. And, you know, so, you know, it from that side, it was frustrating knowing if you're there, a lot of this stuff wouldn't happen or you'd be able to mitigate it and kind of steer and guide the group to, you know, the right path or not, or just be a support and be able to be a part of it and knowing my experiences and all the different things that I'd been through. Obviously we brought in Yags and I had talked to him. I was one of the reasons why he wanted to come because he didn't want to get hacked anymore.
Yeah. Right. He's tired of it.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think anybody wanted it to end that way. I don't think anybody wants their career to end that way. It's just unfortunate and frustrating when, you know, you look at that team and specifically that team that year in 11-12, where we had a lot of really good pieces. We had a lot of guys that were kind of making that next step. And then when you get hurt, when I get hurt, it kind of throws the back end out of whack. Then you're forced to make trades and forced to make moves just to fill in the pieces and kind of, you don't want to have to make those types of moves if you don't have to. And, you know, it was just unfortunate.
Yeah, that's a, you know, no disrespect to anyone else, but, you know, you lose someone else, you probably find a way. It still sucks to lose one of your main guys, but to lose a guy of your caliber was definitely had its impact, you know, on the team mentally and for the games too, you know, like, you know, you're not there. Like,
yeah,
I always say, like, I never obviously played hockey, but I've been around it most of my life, and I've never seen a guy with a pass out of his own, like, prongs, like Riles. I think we've talked about, like,
yeah,
I
mean, no, for sure.
First pass, I mean, I'm talking about tape to tape, bam, hard, gone. And what a difference that makes.
That's half the game, right? Just getting out of your zone.
Yeah.
I mean, you got guys coming back, and guys can't do that. Like, you could, you are like one of your, I mean, you could do everything basically. I'm not trying to, well, I'm pumping guys, but seriously, that was one of the things when we first got you. The best thing, it was my favorite, is this guy is the meanest motherfucker I've watched play hockey in a while, man. Like, he's an ornery prick, and I love it. And I loved how it didn't matter if you, like you said, you were there helping Richie, helping the guys that were, you know, coming up, and you weren't afraid to say, hey, Rick Bone, fuck, that puck's got to get deep there because we're trying to change. Hey, it could be anybody. Kevin Marshall. I mean, you know, it was this guy or that guy, and you held yourself accountable. It wasn't like you didn't say, you know, hey, boys, I got to do that, you know, and that was a thing that, you know, you miss that when that comes out of the room as well.
Major leadership, right?
I mean, it's huge, and that's the things that, you know, we're fortunate enough to see a lot, you know, fans don't get that perspective. That's one of the, I always say, you know, I never took a day for granted when I was working in hockey, and those are the things you love and you know personally about you, and people don't know that stuff, but it was a huge blow. And even the second year, like, I think we had a chance to do some damage. You had the back issue, but
yeah,
one of the funny things was, I remember us being in Buffalo, it was game 6, and we're down. We could lose, yeah, like, we could lose the series.
Yeah.
And I get a call in the afternoon, and it's Beast. He says, Nast, hang my gear up. I'm going. And I'm like, I think I got a chub. I'm like, yes. So the boys are coming in, and I got Beast jersey up and everything. And guys are like, he's going. I'm like, oh, yeah. He called me. He said, get it up. And they're like making fun of me, like, wait, you're like a little kid right now. You're like so jacked up. I'm like, fucking right, I'm jacked up. And he's like, I don't know if I'm playing, but I'm going to be dressed. And remember, you sat there for a while. You're fucking back. I know you're in pain, but then we got a power play. So he's in front of the net on the power play. Well, that's a good spot to put a guy with a bad back. Yeah, got right. Big Myers, who's still playing. He's as tall as prongs, and they're just working. And I remember you got a penalty. We're on a 5-on-3, yeah, and he whacked you, yeah, and I think you just were like, he turned around. I'm like, oh, shit, maybe this wasn't a good idea. But we ended up winning the game in overtime. Ville Leno scored, and we go home, and we killed him game 7. But then, you know, you weren't able to play. You were just hurt, and – yeah. It is such a big loss, you know, but it's just so many. I know we don't have a whole lot of time. I wish we did. Just so many funny things. And
well, maybe it'd have to be 2.0.
Yeah.
2.0 with Thong Daddy. 2.0.
Settlemyer Skate Sharpening Studio.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to get you down.
When we can.
We'll be maskless.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Hey, well, Prongs, I was going to ask you, like, despite being known as, like, a skilled defenseman, would you ever consider yourself a dirty hockey player?
Sure. I mean, dirty is a, you know, there's a lot of gray areas involved. I would say I'd be willing to, you know, I want to win just like anybody else. And as big a target as I had on my back, I was going to make sure I took a pound of flesh out of anybody who came near me. So, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize that I had guys taking runs at me constantly, and, you know, yeah. And then you got to make sure that they know, okay, if you're going to do that, you're going to feel some pain, you know, you're not going to like it. So, you know, and then it's about taking a number and finding them when they're in a, an untoward position, and sorry.
Yeah, right.
I remember Prongs. I'm sure you remember this. We were it was after we had lost. It was the next season, and we're playing Chicago that week. And Prong says, "Hey, Nast, come here. Get me a new pair of elbow pads and cut the back off of them." I said, "What?" He's like, "I want this thing to come right off my arm." You remember who you were going after?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
"And he got his in the game before we played him."
It was Burridge.
Oh, no way.
And he wanted a piece of this. He goes, "I don't care if he says no, he's going to get it." So I cut the back piece of these elbow pads off for him, had him, and then he got hurt and he couldn't play. And I remember saying, "Hey, you're the luckiest dude in the world right now." He got a fuck in the face.
Oh,
it's even going to get something in the face from the beast.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, the only reason I asked you that was, you know, I know you play the game hard. I was kind of making a joke when I said that, but, you know, knowing that you had been suspended 8 times, but you played the game hard, and, you know, you're an honest player, right? I mean, it was, I don't even think dirty was the word I should have used, but, you're greasy, you're hard-nosed, and everyone knew what they were getting when they played against you, and you established that. I think that's what you know, what tough, good players do, right? I mean, you know, you're creating space for yourself. You know, you're probably able to break the puck out a lot better since you're playing that way, right? I mean, you're giving yourself that extra space, and
you know, part of it was early on, and even prior to the NHL, I was always unpredictable, not knowing. You know, I might hit you, I might spear you, I might slash you, I might cross check you, and keeping your opponent on edge and kind of leery of what you may do. You know, I think, you know, as opposed to dirty, unpredictable. You know,
unpredictable.
Like, I might steal the puck from you. I might run you through the boards. I might, you know, cross check you. I might, you know, stick you in the nuts. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, and half the time I didn't know.
Yeah. It was spontaneous, right?
It was just like, you know, what looked like it was gonna, you know, at that split second.
Yeah.
What am I gonna do? Bang.
Yeah.
And it just happened.
I remember thinking, Prongs, like, you know, you've been here a couple weeks watching the games. First of all, I swear to God, the refs were petrified of Prongs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've never seen a player yet just say, go fuck yourself. And usually they're like, that's it. You know, like, and he's it. And they're like, okay, I'll watch. And he's losing it. And I'm like, this is unreal. And not to mention, probably could have got called for a slashing penalty every shift or a cross check. I'm just saying, like, the you know, the rules were changed.
It's about having a relationship with a referee so that they talk to you first, they give you some guidance on what you can and can't do, and then you just taper it up or down based on what they say.
Someone would come in and kind of, if they bumped into Prongs, definitely they didn't really want to, but they did, and then Prongs turn around, two-hand him, and then go, like, to the ref, like, "Did you see him hit me? Like, that's why I did that." And they're like, yeah, we got it. Everything's good. No, no penalties. And I'm going, holy shit, he just two-handed this guy across his wrist. It was the greatest.
Oh, yeah. That's the way the game is supposed to be played. You know, it's changed a lot. And
that's right.
I know we're running out of time here, Prongs, and we respect your time and whatnot, but we definitely got to do the Prong Daddy 2.0, no question.
Yeah, for sure. There's just too much. There's too much for one.
Yeah, I agree.
There is.
All this other stuff I wanted to get to, but, we, you know, there's no know. Not a whole lot of time.
I wanted to touch on him being NHL player safety guy, too.
Yeah, I know, right?
2.0.
I want to get
2.0.
I remember hearing that. I'm like, I think I texted you. I think you had to rule on Gudas.
Well, no, I had to. Well, yeah, after I left here. And you're like, is he going to get? I go, duh.
Yeah.
Come on, Beast. You know what's going on. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway.
We appreciate your time, Prongs.
We'll get into that 2.0.
Yeah, exactly. So I know you got to go, but, you know, really awesome to reconnect. And, you know, you've won at every level. I mean, Stanley Cup, two gold medals in the Olympics, Hockey Hall of Famer, man. just an amazing overall hockey player in person. So we appreciate the time, obviously, and definitely got to do it again. So good luck with everything you got going on with your business there.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the Nasty Knuckles podcast.
Yes, sir.
2.0 coming.
2.0.
Hey, coming up. See you, buddy.
All right, brother.
Bye, boys.
Take care. Good seeing you.
See ya.
All right, Riggs, that interview was brought to you by Manscaped. Riggs, you can definitely get festive and safely shave a shamrock in your pubes.
Hopefully it helps me get lucky.
Well, it should. Anyone with a shamrock shaved in their pubes is bound to get lucky. You and your partner will get lucky, all right. Their Lawnmower 3.0 will showcase your pot of gold like no other, Riggs. So, goodness gracious, just shave that shamrock in there, buddy.
I'm on it.
Let's not forget their famous liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner, to maximize your ball hygiene routine, which is very, very important. Get the performance package now to receive their two free gifts, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. The performance package is the best value that Manscaped has to offer and is hot off the shelves. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Knuckles at manscaped.com. Also, just so you know, every purchase at manscaped.com goes towards contributions made to the Testicular Cancer Society to bring awareness to testicular cancer, men's health, and early cancer detection, which we all know is very serious and very important. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code Knuckles at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code Knuckles. There's gold at the end of the rainbow with Manscaped, Riggs. Let's go. All right, we definitely want to thank the beast, Chris Pronger, the Hall of Famer, the Stanley Cup champion, the Hart Trophy winner, the Norris Trophy winner. The guy's won it all, but we got to thank him for his time, and it was so much fun, and we actually could have used more time, Riles.
Oh, I know. He was on a time crunch there, and he was very strict with it, so we had to abide by his time, and it was awesome. Yeah, we're going to definitely have to do the Prong Daddy 2.0, as we talked about.
For sure.
So so much more. So many things we didn't get to that we had planned on talking about, but what an amazing career, and it's always nice to get Prong Daddy going and see him laughing and telling some stories because he's got a ton of them for sure.
He does, and I love getting him wound up, man. He's a lot of fun to talk to, and we talked about quite a bit, but there were, like we said, there were just, he's got so much to his career and what he's got going on. We could have been on there 3 hours probably. For sure.
Yep, that's the truth. Yeah, I didn't realize he had I knew he moved around a little bit, but when he starts talking about his trades, you need to make him seem like he's some sort of suitcase, but obviously contenders want player like that, right? I mean, he's a valuable player. Not many guys with that size can move the way he does, shoot the way he does, and play that physical brand of hockey. So he's obviously a wanted man. Well, he was a wanted man when he was in his prime, and it was nice to connect with him in the orange and black. He brought a lot of spice to the Fly Guys when he was there, and unfortunately he had to retire due to concussion issues, but that's the way it goes. Glad to see him doing well and following his passion, doing some business with his family, his wife there, and it was a great conversation. Had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. I don't even think we got into, he was voted in as one of the 100 greatest players to ever play the game. I think I did say at one point we were, didn't want to pump his tires, but Riggs, you saw it. I mean, this guy get a puck, that first pass out of the zone. I know we talked about it, but man, I don't think there's anybody better doing that. And how much easier does it make it on everyone when you got a player like that to get the puck out of your end so quickly and just kind of facilitated everything, really.
Oh yeah, it sounds like such an easy thing to do, right? I mean, just make one good first pass, but as it's not that easy under pressure, and you know, you got to be composed. I think Kimo was another guy that was really good at that, obviously, you know, making that first pass. But it's really simplifying the game, you know, and how important it is to moving up the ice, just that one simple pass. But obviously, again, he just brought that physical brand of hockey, the big shot, you know. You've seen him up front in front of the net on the power play at times. But, you know, overall, an amazing career. And, you know, the other thing that we didn't get to is the fact that he holds the record for the most games in Olympic hockey. I think it was 25 games played, which was pretty impressive, obviously, at that caliber. But no shortage of medals, trophies, and you know, and hardware there for that guy. So amazing to have him on. And I look forward to reconnecting with him because, again, we can poke and prod and get the prong daddy laughing and sharing some stories a little more too. You know, he's eager to talk. You know, I think you just got to prod.
Yeah, he is. He definitely is. I wanted to get to him too. It's funny because both his boys were playing hockey when he was here. They play basketball. They don't even play hockey anymore.
Oh, well, so I
have texted with him about it, but I wanted to get his take on it. You know, it's just. It was funny. He just said they just like basketball, so that's the way they wanted to go. So I kind of wanted to talk to him about that. But anyway, yeah, there's lots more we could talk to him about, but we did cover quite a bit.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, this wraps up episode 12 of Nasty Knuckles. Make sure you're tuning in next week, Tuesday, for episode 13. Have a safe week. Take care, knuckleheads.
See you, knuckleheads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.